Hi, this is Michelle Anderson here in Millinocket at the Appalachian Trail Cafe with Rosa Scarcelli, who's going to be running on the Democratic ticket for governor of the state of Maine. Hi, how are you, Rosa?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm just wonderful. So you are the person who's come the furthest north for one of these interviews.
Absolutely.
So why don't we start out with this? I'm from northern Maine. Why do I want you to be my governor?
Well, I'm also from the 2nd District. I grew up in Wilton, Maine, and I have, my business is an affordable housing company, and I actually have properties in 35 communities across the entire state, and the majority of them are in the 2nd District. So I have thousands of people that live in my properties from Madawaska all the way to Old Orchard Beach. So that, I think, connects me, and the fact that I was raised in the 2nd District connects me even more deeply. That's why I think that I can connect and relate to people.
Great. So have you been involved in politics before? First time out? Or?
I'm not a politician. I'm a business owner. I'm a person who works hard every week to make a payroll, and I've created jobs this year, and that's where my experience comes from. And I think those perspectives and that skill will be really relevant to this next administration.
Are you familiar with the issues in northern Maine as opposed to southern Maine? I mean, we have...
Absolutely. I mean, you can't drive. You can't go to Wilton, and you certainly can't drive to lots of parts of our state without seeing the dire situation that we're in. And we have to provide opportunities for the entire state, or we don't succeed. So I think the 2nd District has tremendous opportunity, but we need to focus on that. We need to really focus on what we're good at and not try to be everything to everyone. And we have assets that no other state has, and we don't take advantage of those.
Such as?
Well, we certainly have our natural resources, our wood, our agriculture, our aquaculture. We have the potential for wind energy and alternative energy, hydro. These are things that we are good at that are special to us here in Maine, and we don't do enough to promote them and to make them grow.
What do you see as the three most important problems right now that really need your attention?
In the entire state? Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere, we need to focus on jobs. Number one. And I could say we need to do jobs, jobs, jobs. Those are the three top issues in the state of Maine. And that's about creating opportunity. That is about creating an educational system that will support young people staying here and having the appropriate workforce that we need to grow our economy. But it is something that we can't neglect any longer. We try to be everything to everyone, and we need to be very focused. We need to look at what we're good at and put all of our energy and limited resources into that.
So as the governor of the state, what exactly can you do to bring us jobs?
Well, the government does not create jobs. Absolutely. And I know that. I'm a private sector citizen, and I've created jobs on my own. But I also work with the government, and I understand that the government can create the climate that will allow jobs to grow. And that's my responsibility as the governor, is to make sure the climate is friendly to business, make sure that it's encouraging business. And that's complicated, and there are no easy answers, and if someone tells you there are, they're not giving you the straight story. But the fact of the matter is, the governor represents the state as the executive, and that person sets the vision and leads, and we have to be creating opportunities every single day.
So when you say friendly to business, bring them cookies? I mean, what do you have in mind?
Well, I truly believe that our biggest issues, our biggest roadblocks in the state, is that it's very expensive to operate here. And no business is going to come and relocate in Maine if they're concerned about the workforce not being here. So our infrastructure, our education, the cost of doing business in this state, those are big issues. I think that, you know, the tax reform bill created some opportunity for us because it took us off one of the most highly taxed states to the middle, and that's perception. I think it did a little. We could go farther, but the fact of the matter is, we need to be working every day to make sure the state of Maine is not the end of the line, but it's the peak. We should be the top in New England. We are unique, unlike any other place, and I think it's really critical that we are representing ourselves to the best possible light in the state of Maine. We don't do that now. We don't market ourselves well, and I think we need a leader who represents the business world, because that will attract business to the state of Maine. I'd like to talk about the agriculture.
Why don't you talk about the agriculture?
I think there's a wonderful opportunity in the 2nd District to refocus ourselves on the family farm. We're all concerned about the quality of food that we eat, and I'm passionate about the fact that we have opportunities in this state to take the farmland that is now fallow, and we're talking about hundreds of thousands of acres, and reinvigorating that. that would involve having the university system focus on its land grant routes and really training people to be back into farming, and then incentivize those businesses. If the farms are being created in the second district, give business incentives so they can grow. So you're creating the workforce, you're creating the incentive for the business, and that's an example of where the government can incentivize and give a create a climate for growth, but it's not creating the private sector jobs. So I think there's a great opportunity because, you know, we've got a wonderful brand. Maine is known for its high quality foods, as in blueberries and lobsters, but we don't do enough to take advantage of that and grow that. So I think that's a great opportunity for the second district.
Government funding. First of all, you say you do affordable housing. Can I ask, is that government funds, private funds, a combination of the two?
So my portfolio, I have 90 properties in 4 states that we manage. In the state of Maine, there's 58 in 35 different towns. The financing is primarily with the USDA. That's my lender. So I'm in partnership to the extent that they're my capital partners. And, you know, the USDA is a wonderful organization for rural states like ours. They not only provide financing for our properties and so people in rural Maine can be housed, but for alternative energy and for farming and for things that are really relevant to what we do and what we're good at in the state of Maine. So that's how I'm in partnership with
the
government.
So they're not grants. You're not taking money from the federal
government. No, it's financing.
They help you with the financing. You pay them back.
It's a mortgage payment.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I think USDA is a wonderful organization, particularly because of our unique nature as a rural state. They focus on housing that's particularly for rural areas, and it's primarily our portfolios for the elderly. And about 70% of that is, you know, people who truly in the state of Maine need to come together as they get older and grow old together. They live longer, they're happier, the communities are very strong. And then the other 30% of the portfolio is the disabled, vets, single moms, low-income families, and those people need opportunities as well.
What might your thoughts be on property rights? Do you, up here in northern Maine, we face a little bit of a different dichotomy than they do in southern Maine. Up here, a lot of the land is leased. So the land is owned by one entity, generally a mill or land company. And homes are built on that leased land by individuals. So a lot of people now today have grandparents who built homes, but it's on leased land. So as soon as the landlord says get out, they have to get out. And there's some controversy about that up here, about what should be done and whether or not that's fair.
Right.
And of course, it's a fine line between the property rights and the rights of the people who built the homes. And
I have to study more about it, but my first reaction is that we really have to be cautious about respecting the legal underpinnings, because clearly if someone is leased 100 years ago, there was a document that protected that. So I think there's a lot to know and understand about the current situation, and I would never want to see anyone lose their home. Sounds like a very difficult situation that has emotions probably very high on both sides. I'd like to know more about it.
What about food? You got some things to tell me about food?
I do. I think that it's so critically important that the quality of our food is safe. And in this, Maine is known for its wonderful environment, its clean water, its land. And I think that we have such an opportunity in this state to create food that is locally grown and sold locally. We could be providing food for all of New England if we were smart about how we were growing that industry. All of our family farms have gone over the years because we've industrialized our food. And it's critical that in this day and age we are focused on real food and growing it in ways that are close to the population. And I think that, you look at Michael Pollan's work and you look at work that talks about what's happened to farming across our country, and it is really about how we've industrialized it, so we're not eating real food. And that's why I think family farming in Maine is such a tremendous opportunity. There's thousands and thousands of acres.
When you say we're not eating real food, can you elaborate on that some?
Well, I think the subsidies that have gone with the corn industry certainly will, not in the state of Maine, but have shown that in other states, food is not really grown on most of the farmland. It ends up being crop food for cow or cattle, and we need to be focused on a diverse set of products that we grow in our state. Unfortunately, we have the ability to do that, and not only can we grow, potatoes, but we have every other kind of food that can be grown. I belong to a community-supported agricultural farm, which means I buy a piece of farm every year, and I'm passionate about getting real food from local farmers and serving it to my children. And I think that that's critically important. And not only that, my family farm that we buy from is horse-powered, which I think is extra
special. Oh, really?
Yes.
Did you have to search?
We did a little searching, yes.
What about health care?
Healthcare is so difficult for us as consumers, and as an employer, I struggle all the time to figure out how I'm going to provide the best quality healthcare for my folks. If there is not a federal resolution, we certainly have to come back to the state and make it more competitive in the state of Maine to provide health coverage for all of our people, because right now Maine has one of the highest incidence of no competition in the entire country. If we only have two insurance companies competing for our business, we're not going to get good prices. You go to New Hampshire and it's a half as much, maybe even less than half as much to get the same coverage. It's too expensive in Maine to provide health coverage, and we have to fix that.
What about DERIGO?
Unfortunately, DERIGO, in my opinion, did not work. We intended to cover hundreds of thousands of people and are covering under 10,000. In my opinion, it was another example of where our policies were a mile wide and an inch deep, and unfortunately we didn't have the critical mass needed to make that program really, really work, and it was a complicated funding structure. The idea was good. I think the idea was great. The execution did not hit the mark.
So as governor, would you scrap the whole thing and start with a fresh plan, or would you try to band-aid that up so that it worked better?
I'm very hopeful that we will end up with a federal plan that will satisfy our needs in the state and will make it cost-effective for us to provide health insurance for everyone. In the event that there is not a federal plan that addresses this issue, then we absolutely have to look at restructuring DERIGO. We can't, it will, even with the new funding structure, I don't believe it's going to cover enough people and do what it had intended to do.
When you say a federal plan, you mean the bill that's currently
going? Exactly.
And have you read it?
Well, I think we're still in the process of trying to figure out what it is. We don't know what it is yet. And I'm hopeful. People are working hard, and they're dedicated to finding something that's better than what we have now. And again, Maine cannot afford the status quo. It will not work. So if there's not an acceptable federal plan, we have to look at how we're going to reduce the cost in the state, because it's one other thing that is too expensive here. It's too expensive to heat our homes. It's too expensive to, you know, provide health coverage. It's too expensive to do many things in the state, and soon education's going to become too expensive. And we need to be very careful about making sure we can actually grow in the state. There is an opportunity to grow, but we have to change how we operate.
That ends the first part of our two-part chat with Rosa Scarcelli, the Democrat candidate for governor. Next week, we'll play the rest of the discussion, and you can listen in as we talk about the things that are close to our hearts, north of Bangor.